Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Ha'ois a mitzvah achas. A person does one mitzvah. Koin olay praklit echad. He acquires for himself something called a praklit. One of them. Ha'oiver aveira achas. And a person who trans... How do you say it?
Transgresses.
Yeah, transgresses one aveira. Koin olay katega echad. He acquires for himself a katega. We'll have to see what that is in a minute. Not in a minute, maybe it'll take a little longer. That's the first half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah is a two-part statement, the positive and negative mitzvah and aveira. Okay. If you do a mitzvah, something good happens. And if you do an aveira, something bad happens. Something along those lines. You ever heard that one before? The mitzvah, something good happens, bad happens. Tshuva, ma'isim tovim. Bet you that's a good one. Tshuva, ma'isim tovim, ketris b'fnei peronius. No, that was, I think, like those shields that they used in the days of the...
We have one.
You have a shield, yeah?
Understand?
I think so.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Amagin. Yeah. Don't use them so much. Yeah. Mipnei aperonius. That's it. That's what Shuvim Maisim Tevim are. Shuvim Taisim Maisim Tevim. Peronius are what?
Iniquities. They like the word calamity here. For sure the Rav likes that. Like the tennis.
Calamity.
Exactly.
Peronius is definitely something unpleasant. There's no question about that. And a tris probably makes it that thing that's unpleasant. Let's say that thing that's unpleasant is an arrow. Right? An arrow. Right? It could be an arrow, but then you have to have a different type of a tris. But if it's an arrow, so that there's this arrow coming at you for some funny reason, right? And there's an arrow coming at you. And if you have tshuva ma'isim tovim, so the arrow doesn't get through. Which basically means that it's, as far as you're concerned, non-existent. It didn't do any damage whatsoever, right? No.
Because every time you put you up in your guard, you're frightened, lowers your morale.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel
any. Right. There's no question that a person who got shot at and put up a tris and didn't get hit is not in any way equal to somebody who didn't get shot at, even though they're both not in the hospital, right? But there's no question there's a very big difference between them. Okay. What do we do with this mission? This is one of those. This is a very, very special mission because it's a very, very special Tana. Maybe we'll take the words of the Chosid Yaivitz who introduces the Mishnah to us, and that will put us in proper perspective how to read the words. Kama hiflig zeha odoin olav hashalayim b'milois mu'otois kimin hogay. How extremely special. He way overboard over here, this great man, in his capability of putting so much into so little words. Kimin hogay, as was his style. Kimasha Kosov, like the Gemara says on Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mishnoso Yishol Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov Kav Venoki. Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov is not found many times in Shas, very few times. Whenever he speaks, it's exact, perfect halacha. There's no, after Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov has finished saying, he doesn't speak very much. That's the way it is when people don't speak too much. But when they do speak, then everybody else stops speaking. If you get spoken back to, it's usually because you speak too much. If you speak very little, but sumzach, what you do say is exactly right, at the right time, in the right way, at the right perspective, in the right amount. In order to do that, you have to have an extremely powerful distillation process, which is the reason why Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov ended up with a kav. A Kav means a small measurement of the purest flour. He took what other, even Tanoim, relative to other Tanoim, they would have come out with many, many bushels, and he put it through the sifters, another sift, another sift, another sift, and got just pure, pure. So he's left with less kamus, but the eichus is incomparable. So whenever Blaz and Yaakov is going to speak, you're going to expect two basic things. Number one, very little words. He's not going to say a lot. This is one of his longest statements in Shas. He's usually saying to his mutter, also. This is like a really long one. Right. So there's you know, if one word takes three pages of Gemara to explain, so whole Mishnah, I don't know if we're going to finish it tonight. And every word that Blazim and Yaakov says is the pure soilus, that soilus nakia that came after 17 sifters. And is exact, perfect, complete, and gives a whole picture. So we have a problem. We have a problem. It's very difficult for us in our... We have hearing problems. We don't hear so good. We're used to listening to many empty words. To hear very few full words is not something that we're so used to. So that's why we learn to come in tune to something of more value. So we expect from Lezev and Yaakov very short, extremely concentrated orange juice. Right? This is every word can have a whole world in it. You find that the Rishonim and all of the from Mepharshim over here go out of their way. Even sometimes even more than maybe you'd find in other Mishnayos, but any Mishnah should be dealt that way. Every word was dissected. Nothing was left to the imagination. Everything was dealt with. So far we've gotten at least some minimal concept of what is Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Ohimer mean. At that part of the Mishnah, I think we know who's talking to the degree. We don't know who's talking, but we know that when he speaks, you got to put on your highest capabilities for listening. Very careful listening. This is highly packed, highly powerful, highly concentrated. So, for starters, let's just point out some of the problems, call them problems or questions that there are in the Mishnah, that the Rishonim asked in the language over here. Tonight, if we'll concentrate on the first half of the Mishnah, however, I will finish that. But we'll start with the first half. So this is a comparison. This is a positive-negative mirror image. It's what it should be, right? So what you find in mitzvah, you should have the reverse in aveira. And except for the word mitzvah and aveira, and the word loy, everything else is different. Oh no, echad and achas is also the same. But let's see. Let's take it one word at a time. When you talk about doing a mitzvah, accomplishing a mitzvah, the word that was chosen was ha'oisim mitzvah. You do a mitzvah. So you do a mitzvah means you went through the activity of accomplishing a mitzvah. Ha'oisim mitzvah. So, what you should do. But the Mishnah should talk about if somebody, what's the negative? Oh, you said aveir. You don't have to use it. What's the matter with that? That word doesn't apply to, you don't do aveirs. In aveira, you're over aveirs. Okay, let's start from that side. You want to be over aveirs? So then you can be Mekayim mitzvahs. But how do you have oisa mitzvah going against Mekayim aveir? Two different concepts. Either it's oisa and oisa. Or you're talking Mekayim, then the opposite of Oiver is Mekayim. So it should be either Mekayim mitzvah and Oiver Veira, or Oisa mitzvah and Oisa Veira. That's number one. Number two, Achas. Oisa mitzvah Achas. There's an emphasis over here on the importance of the one-time activity. I imagine that multiplication works. Addition, maybe even subtraction, division on the second half. But if one time you get one, so I would imagine, let's say like 100 times you get 100 or something like that. But the Mishnah goes out of its way. If it would say Ha'isa Mitzvah, we would have a problem. Would there be something we'd be missing? You could take off one more word, and this is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov talking. Ha'isa Mitzvah, Koiner Le'Praklit. Is anything missing? Anything unclear? The two words we can take off there. We can take off echad, achas from the beginning, and we can take off echad from the end. And the same thing with aveira. So is there aveira? Koiner Le'Kategor. Is anything unclear? Is there anything said less than what was said now? So these are extra words. That's no good. Yeah, no extra words in any Mishnah. So we have, that's the problem. So Isa we had a problem with. We had a problem with Achas. Then there's another one.
I think I can see that in the second half, the Praklet Echa. Yeah. I could imagine that doing one mitzvah can have many parts, many facets to it. So maybe you get more than one Praklet for one mitzvah.
So he's telling you that
he's
don't.
He's telling you only get one. That one Praklet will do the whole job. On the movie.
Not sure what it is that you mean. But what are we saying? You're saying that you did one mitzvah, right? That really was one action that had 10 mitzvahs in it? Or it was, you did one mitzvah?
One mitzvah.
So why should it... So
he said one aspect. Yeah.
So all of the results are always going to be exactly corresponding to the ma'isa. Mida k'neged mida. So you did one mitzvah that was a many-faceted mitzvah? So you'll get a many-faceted diamond as a reward. You'll get... one thing that's many facets, that's why it should be. There's no, I'm not satisfied yet with that.
It seems like there's a significance in the unit. It, one is enough to get you something. Okay. One gets you something, that's why it says one. You should know you get something big for one. It's significant, one. If I wouldn't say one, I'd just say mitzvah, I might not realize that the tiniest of the what I might think is the most insignificant act has significance, big significance. So one is like, you should know, everything is accounted. Be careful, there's some kind of focus here.
Yeah, this is a focus. He's giving us a focus. He wants to know, when you're learning this subject, he wants to tell us on what focus are we supposed to be looking at, the macro, the micro, where are we supposed to be looking? So he focuses us in, he says, I want you to focus on the one-time operation. You have to know why is that important. He went out of his way. For Elazar ben Yaakov, this is way out of his way. This is much further than from us walking to Tel Aviv. You know, you have to put it in perspective. For him to add an extra word into his Mishnah, it's much harder than for us to walk by foot to Tel Aviv. You know, there has to be some... It's very important. Otherwise, you didn't get the point. You would get something wrong. You wouldn't understand right. So we have to understand what the point is, and we're not quite there yet. Then the next word that there he used was proklet. Now there's a dual problem with the word. First, there's a problem: what does it mean in general? What does the word mean? But again, we have a problem that there's the word used for the positive and the word used for the negative are not equivalent. A proclet, the opposite, well, let's take it that way, it's easier. Kantager, everybody knows from Slichas, from Kippetavni, that the opposite of Kantager is Sanega. Since everybody had a very difficult time describing what a proclet is in general, nobody that I knew of, nobody that I found, came up with what the opposite of proclet is.
What's the actual definition of a dictionary?
Which dictionary are you using?
Anything. Just think of it. What is the word's general meaning?
Well, in Israeli Hebrew,
yeah.
Means lawyer. But so does Sanhedrin. So much for Israeli Hebrew.
Right.
Right.
I've always said so much, but it's really evil.
What?
I'll hear believing that.
Okay. So that won't, you know, we would love to have a Lashon Kodesh dictionary. That would be great.
Yeah.
What does Mr. Jasper say?
Yeah, lawyer. He's just a lawyer?
I'm sure.
He usually
gives
more specifics.
You have one?
Well, we have advocate over here.
Advocate.
Fancy,
oh,
fancy.
No, that's it.
Could be much worse, because I don't know what it means. Yeah, but when I don't know what the actual word means, what do I care? What is it going to be worth?
Doesn't really define, because the category is also an advocate.
I'm saying I don't know. How can I know? I don't know what the shot is. So how do I know?
Well, is he advocate both times?
English is nameless.
No, it says accuser and advocate.
Accuser.
Right. Advocate and accuser.
A lawyer. An advocate is a lawyer, right?
Yeah, but one means an advocate. It means somebody who's on your behalf. On your doing things good for you.
Why? You use a prosecutor. Or a defense lawyer.
That's how they determine that. If he's a lawyer, that's working for you. He's your defense lawyer. If he's a lawyer that's working against you, he's a prosecutor lawyer. Depends on whether you're an American or an Englishman. You have an advocate that's not a lawyer. Your friend can be your advocate in this agreement. It's on your side. Someone who's on your side. So one of the problems that we have to deal with over here is to know what Prakrit means and why was that the word. We need to know what the word means. We need to know why it was used instead of Sanega. Which would have been the opposite of Katega, that we know for sure. The opposite of Katega is Sanega. And instead of getting Sanega, which would fit in nicely, we got Proclit, which we have to know what it means.
But Sanega means acquitter, no? Acquitter.
Intercessor, advocate, intercessor. He that does a good deed acquires an advocate for himself. This is the
Ayin.
What was that? Ayin here. Intercessor.
Great, thank you. Now I know. It was very helpful.
It's a person.
What?
I thought you said something about a mage.
No, that's the end of the Mishnah. True amazing tell you when you choose something. Yeah.
A sin offering is like an intercessor, this is that enters the royal palace to appease the king when the intercessor has succeeded. The present is set in the word. So it says something is definitely done for your behalf, sent like a messenger does you does good for you.
That's good. Fine. Just say them. I think that does it for the questions. We're out of words. Kavanaki, that's all the words there are. And so far we don't understand any of them. We made a very major assumption, which we will leave for the moment.
We do Kona? We do Kona.
We didn't speak of Kona?
Huh?
Skips Kona?
I think so.
Oh, excuse me. I'm very sorry.
I mean, that's a significant thing.
Yeah. That's a very funny word.
Kona.
Kona is a very funny word to be used. It's probably one of the last ones we were thought of. And that's a very special language there, too. Right. And that's a very interesting way of approaching friendship. We would have thought it's negative, actually. But so you try to make things better, I understand. But quite thank you for making things worse. Usually the worse it gets, the better it'll get in the end. But koine...
If it's someone that misses an interesting koine, some type of bartering system.
Bartering system?
No, I don't think bartering. It's a commercial thing. You can...
Buy and sell.
Buy and sell.
Yeah.
And it's just that doesn't seem
right. Well, a person can get the impression that if you take a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah. So a mitzvah enables you to go up to the Katega store, the Praklit store, and buy yourself one. With the mitzvah.
And the mitzvah can buy you an avera. I mean, count each other up.
No. That's one of the things that the Rishonim say this mission is explaining.
Not that don't we understand.
What would have been a good word?
What, koine?
Yeah.
How would you want to say it? If we would say, we'll say it in English. A person who does a mitzvah.
Requires for himself.
Defends on
it. Gets.
Earns. Gets. A merits. Anyway. Deserves.
Zoche.
Zoche. Right. You koine him. That's one problem when you hear koina is the process. Koina, when you hear it, is a process. Right? But we would think that this is not exactly the process. We would think that this is something that either you earned and you're receiving as earned, or it's something that you're given as a result. It's cause and effect. If you do this, it causes that. Koina is neither. Koina is not cause and effect. Koina is not earned. Koina is a transaction. Right. That's number one. Number two, koine is also a relationship that you have. When you koine something, it's not just a process. It's not only defining a process, it's also defining the result. You go to your lawyer, if you have one, and tell him that you are acquiring a lawyer. Not just the lawyer would throw you down the stairs, the taxi driver. Right? If you think that when you get in the cab, you make him think that now he's your servant. They'll throw you out. So yeah, who accepts that at all?
Say hire.
Okay. Hire.
Hire is a form of buying, but for purpose. You're buying the services of it.
Buying the service is a lot different than buying it. Right? I'd be very happy to sell you my services. I would be very unhappy sell you meat in any way, shape, or form.
But this thing doesn't exist until you do it. So
who says?
The defense thing.
Okay, so you brought up another problem.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We were told 100 times from kindergarten on up that if you do a mitzvah, you create a good angel. They told you that? They told you that. So you're not coining it, you create it.
Just got a new idea.
He's got a new idea.
The reason it's not balanced is because these processes, acquiring mitzvahs, doing kaveras, they're really not opposite at all. Doing a mitzvah and kona, so that's something you become, that is a reality. Whereas doing a vera, that's just... That's not, you don't become, the person himself doesn't change when he does the Avera. What's happening is that you open up a door to make tainas. The person is always, he's always good. And when he does a mitzvah, that just adds to his basic substance. That never changes. When he does an Avera, he doesn't become a worse person. So they're not opposite concepts.
Excuse me.
It says Kanye.
Huh? I really hate to have to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
And tell you. It's not true.
Why?
Because when you do an aveira, you become bad.
You what?
No, you don't. Your behavior becomes bad. You don't become bad.
You become bad. Shh, don't tell them. Take the kids out of the room. When you do an aveira, you become bad.
Don't believe it.
You better stop believing it.
It goes against what I thought I've learned right here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to learn some
review.
Review? Yeah.
Since how does
it that's why it's probably a long time.
We're pure. How do we ever? We don't become bad. How do we? I understand. We're bad behavior. Our essence never changes. The Rav always says we wake up every morning and we say Elokai.
What do we say?
Yeah.
So Elokai neshama shenasat to be. The neshama never goes bad.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
No,
but the me,
the I.
That's the combination of the whole package together.
The both areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bad. Bad choice, bad person. There is bad in the world. You do bad and nice and you become a bad person. You can become evil. You can become ugly, dark, black.
Come on.
Shama does.
I don't believe it.
That's
I don't understand.
That's why you think that the way to run Vayas and Yaakov is...
Yeah, yeah, it's very important, very important. I have something here. It'll make life a little easier, a lot easier. It may even make you happy.
Yeah, okay.
But you're going to have to go through this first. I'm very sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed yet. I didn't accept it. Well, I'll understand it. Well, I'll understand in the right terms. Then I'll understand it. But I don't. This is some communication gap. But Jews aren't bad. That's what you're going to call it. Jews are bad.
Rabbi.
Okay. So he's not. So that's even the clock. People can have terrible behavior. Doesn't make them bad people. That's bad behavior.
A person can't be a bad person.
I don't know exactly what that means. I'm going to try to understand that now.
The person doesn't mean
I wouldn't understand how the whole concept of seeing is chinim and all those things could possibly work if a person be a bad person. Then why call dam chaskos? He's a bad person. People do those things. And what if seeing is chinim? Of course, seeing is chinim is ridiculous. It makes sense to have seeing is chinim. It's not chinim. The guy's bad. It's not chinim. I should have seen this guy.
Excuse me.
There's a rule that I'm not sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, go.
That all of those concepts
yeah.
only apply to an Oisei Maise Amcha.
To a who?
Oisei Maise Amcha.
Yeah.
Which means that he does have mitzvahs and he doesn't do averus. If he does averus, he is not an Oisei Maise Amcha. And that can be in two classifications. There is the one time at the moment classification. You can have the world's greatest tzaddik if right now he happened to be doing a veira vis-a-vis the moment and the activity and the relationship to that. At that time, he's not Oisei Maise Amcha. Oiva Hashem Sinu Ro will apply to him at that time. And not for Avtecha Kolach. But then it would be only very carefully reduced to vis-a-vis that situation.
Right.
But the person himself is a tzaddik.
Right.
Okay. But you have people who are not questioning that he right now at the moment is an Ein Oisei Maise Amcha, but that has earned because of the accumulation of many types of meisim that he is now labeled legally, halachically as an Ein Oisei Maise Amcha.
It's not like what you earned.
Okay, so we're talking about something that's hit the level of Rishon.
That's a rush.
Okay, fine.
One second.
Yeah.
Now, there's a middle cap.
Right.
There's an Eino Maisa Maisa Amcha bonus. What's with him? A person who... Tenech Shenizma.
Yeah.
Wasn't given the opportunity. Was trained to do averus and wasn't trained to do mitzvahs. Right. So here's a very, very important statement. What? I don't know. Are we allowed to say this around here? This is cold truth. This is not something that it's a little dangerous, but this is the cold reality. Right? The status of the person in terms of his life situation at the moment is you know he's an example. The fact that he's an oinus, the fact that it's not his fault, makes it that he is a potential baal tshuva. That he has the potential of getting, he's in jail. Okay. And therefore, we can relate to him to what he's going to be tomorrow, because he's really there now, he's just in jail. He's b'shevi. He's exactly like a person who was taken into captive by the enemy army. He's not fighting for you now. Not only is he not fighting for you, you can be very, very concerned that he may be hurting he may actually now be giving information to the enemy. He may be working on the other side. The oinus. They're destroying him for it. But it's not clear anymore whose side he's on. In an army, there are times that it's necessary, and it would even be halakhically mutter to do such things, to send in somebody to destroy your person in order that... Because right now his situation is no good, even if he's not at fault. What's the difference? You're not going to be Moshe Nefesh to try to get... To take a real enemy soldier and see if you can turn him around, convince him that really he should join you. Okay? If you have your soldier, right, in jail, Bishevi, by the enemy, then you have to do whatever you can to see if you can get him out. There are times when there's no other opportunity and it's dangerous, and there's and there are times that you have to make such a terrible decision that you have to get rid of him, you have to eliminate him. Because this situation that he's in is so dangerous that his present situation is more the issue than what his internal definition is.
Is any Jew living in any of the free world countries who has what we term the chiyah? Is that anything that can be called a chiyah?
Do I have to answer that? I don't have to answer that. I don't have to answer that. I think I answered it as much as I'd like to. But you have a very careful application. So how do you relate?
Okay, just one thing, but in that case, that's the status here in this world. As far as accusations,
you can say, how do I relate to him?
Halachically, the way you said. Maybe
I relate to him dual.
Yeah, right. We want to help him go weiter, but have to be careful about him.
That's not the end of the story. It goes beyond that. Dual sometimes means kabdeo v'chajdeo, right? They have a two-part relationship. There's another aspect. What? Kovod, honor him. Kabdeo v'chajdeo. That's one way how you deal with a dual relationship. This guy's schizophrenic. He's a split personality. He's good on the inside, bad on the outside.
That's the same outside, right?
Something else. But there are times that we don't relate to the whole person. We have a whole relationship from one part of the person. When there's a public issue, and there's a decision that has to be made, that's the game for the public, and you're a nice guy and he's a nice guy, but you believe in Torah mitzvahs and he believes in baseball, it's not his fault. But at that time, I'm not talking about the way you talk, but as far as the public decision is made, you're the Maccabee and he's the Misyavin, he's a Yavani. He's out to destroy Klai Yisrael, and you have to save Klai Yisrael for him. If right now you're in the middle of a discussion, there's some type of public decision that's based on his shittas and your shittas.
Right.
However, if you invite him over for Shabbos, okay, then he's your brother. What happened to the other part? Out the window, not negeh. No duel. He's pure brother, full brother. Okay. Now, this is the black and white part of it. This is the easy part. What Yossi spoke about is the hard part. Right? The Chilonim are easy. The Reformed Conservative Jews, for the most part, are easy. The worst of the what's called, quote-unquote, I don't know if it acts. Those guys, there's a big problem with them.
Western Conservatives.
Yeah, it's all different versions of the same thing. Right? The people that are... keep on the head or not on the head, doesn't make a difference. Dati, Shomer, Torah, Mitzvahs, selectively. American first, Frum second. And when there are problems between them, so they all have a good rabbi who knows how to deal with such problems. And you it's a problem, because you have to be American first, a businessman first, whatever it is, and Frum second. And now there's a problem, so there's these rabbis around that find ways how to solve that problem. Right. These people, the rabbis for sure, but those people are in a very bad state of affairs. because they have to use a much bigger stretch of the word to make them a teenage initiate. You have to really. It's only when you're inviting them over for Shabbos. It's only like when you're in a kiruv situation that things change, right? Or when you're at a human relationship, you're in a mishpocha relationship where the rest of it is not negiah. So then, absorch al tesalim, and you have to just relate. He's my brother. Just relate because he's my great uncle's second cousin. That's all. Right now, I'm related to my great uncle's second cousin. So that's a relationship, doesn't matter. But anything beyond that, he's got Bechira, and he has Torah, and he very often has a Shas and a Shulchan in his house. And I don't want to talk too much, because if you take this a little bit further, we might find ourselves in the same place. A person who's Perik O, from one mitzvah, is that, you know, he's in my Samcha. Person says, I'll do everything. Except Shmir Seinayim, that's not I'm potter because I'm a whatever. I'm an oinus. I'm not chayiv in Shmir Seinayim. That's a Hasidic mitzvah. Not chayiv in that. I've already done worse things, done. There are people like that that exist. Some of them are not that far away from us. Mm-hmm. He has to, he knows. He knows my Samcha, he knows. Sad situation. Right? You lose after Kamuicha. And you lose Chiv to do Chesed with it. And you lose Danach of Schus. Everything goes out the window. The whole thing, as you said. If like that, if you can actually become bad, right, then everything goes out. Right, exactly. You can't lose everything. There's an in and there's an out, and if you're out, you're out. The difference is you can get back in. But out is out. And out is night, and out is out. Chazal tells us this concept by telling us that Olam Hazeh is built like a hay. Ki ko Hashem tzu olamim. The world was created with two letters. Olam Hazeh with a hay, Olam Hazeh with a yud. Anybody who gets into the yud can never get out. Because there's no openings. Either you never got in. But if you got in, you never get out. Hey, he's got a problem.
When do you go into the
yud? How do you get into the yud?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah. We'll talk about that one day. Maybe it's part of this mission too. But to get out of the hay is a problem. The hay is if a person would be living in a room, in a world, in a box, in a cubicle, and there's no floor. That's a hay. There's no floor. Not only is it possible to fall out, it's amazing that doesn't happen. I mean, it's not like on the side you can go too far over the side and fall out. If you climb up and go all the way around, you fall up the top with the hole of the hay on the top. Fall down the bottom. Olam Hazeh is built like a hay. Elevator is an extremely dangerous place, Olam Hazeh. It's got, you're walking no floor. There's no floor. Yeah,
you only have one problem.
Big problem. Well, you're not sure if you're in the house.
Hashem made the world because he wanted to give chesed. If the scenario you're giving is 1 out of 100 people will get chesed, and the rest are going to burn in the horror forever. So, in other words, it just doesn't seem like there's any chesed there. A chesed like that, I'll take, you know.
Okay. He's trying to tell you that this is bringing everybody down at the table.
No. It doesn't seem real. It's either you're the most unbelievable tzaddik and then you're there, or you're working on trying to tzaddik, you're working hard, you're doing a good job, you're being earnest, but you're not perfect, and you're malish.
Who said you have? Who said that?
If you're either in the hay or you fall through the
floor. No, you can fall through the floor.
But it's most likely that you will.
No. It the chayr should be that way, and it's not. It would seem we didn't finish. We did not finish the statement.
Yeah, but it's a trip, of course. Yeah.
No. Because I'll tell us that a hay. It's really a dalid. with a yud stuck in there to keep people in. There's a shomer ha-pesach, the yud from Olam Haba, that's part of the hay. And he stands there, and as long as you hold on to the yud, you're in. And eventually you'll get into the yud. But if you let go of the yud, then you fall into your scenario. There are two, we've talked about the two forms of Olam Hazeh, I think about 100 times. Right. These are in the source, right? In the shayush, the scenario. These are the two forms of Olam Hazeh. If you want to be a hay all on its own, meaning pure Olam Hazeh, you're right. It's almost an impossibility not to fall out. It's almost an impossibility. And if we give a look at people who live at Olam Hazeh, tachlis, that's the end. And all of the religiosity and everything else that they do in that is also part of Olam Hazeh. It's because that's their way of life. But tachlis means Olam Hazeh. And one of the things that makes Olam Hazeh pleasant is that I'm a religious. It serves a purpose for me. You can even be religious like that. But you're living in Olam Hazeh. Okay? That's your tachlis. Olam Hazeh the negative way. So that's a no-win situation. That's an almost impossible situation. To win like that is very, very tough. Because there's no flaw. But there's a different type of, we live in a hay. Right? We live in a hay that's part of Shem Hashem. The hay is an expression of the yud. That the yud is part of the hay. And it's sitting there right down there between the two holes. And it holds everybody in. You talked about centrifugal force. Right? Anybody
the
who's...
on the other end of the floor.
What?
Except the people on the two-thirds of the floor.
No, you don't have to. You can be anywhere in the box.
Anywhere.
You won't fall through. If your Olam Hazeh is defined as a proizdor l'Olam Haba, so you don't have to be perfect, and you won't fall out. But if you fall out of Emunah of Schar V'Einish, which means you don't really believe in Olam Haba, it's theoretical, but not in Maisa, that your Tachlis means Olam Hazeh, you're outside of the world of Tachlis, of real Tachlis of Olam Haba, then Olam Hazeh is an overworld situation.
So what about a person who has an aspect of their Olam Hazeh, small, big, whatever, a part, let's say it's small, 20% of their Olam Hazeh is really Olam Hazeh centered. In other words, it's not, I need the money because I want the bus pass, so I can get to Shiva.
Because I want the money.
I have so because I like that pretty thing. I want the pretty thing. And, okay, it's not the overall
so,
part of life,
so
but they're not doing that for this hard Olam Hazeh.
You don't have to be pure. That's imperfection here. The person, we're all mixed breeds. Nobody's pure. Don't be pure. We're all. Loilam. Loilam. Yeah, so all them tell you is Shalay Lishma. Shalay Lishma means the basic shot of Shalay Lishma is that you turn things around. You're doing the mitzvahs for the mazeh instead of the mazeh for the mitzvahs. Okay, fine. Do that. That's okay. You have to reconnect. Okay, so to reconnect.
So the Rav is holding that there's a certain group of people who we won't mention.
Who are out. Yeah.
Now there are certain sheetahs who hold, they're not out.
Who said that? There's no sheetahs in this.
He's not saying everybody in that group.
Huh?
No, he's saying people in
that group. I don't know which groups he's talking about. Did you hear me say that all... Minor Orthodox Jews are out?
But hold it. Are the majority...
What I said is they need a lot of Rachman Shemayim for them to stay in.
Okay.
Yeah. So do we.
Of course.
And there is a lot of Siyata Shemayim.
But we didn't discuss... that's our view here, how we deal with them.
However, but there's a lot of things that Benjamin... There's a lot of Siyata Shemayim. The Benjamin, right, it was Maftir Lach Leval Yidach Menon Yidach. And he says, I'm going to save there, even if you fall out. Right? I have tshuva processes, and I have other ways by schlepping magnets. The Rebbe Yishon says he's going to, it's his responsibility. He takes responsibility to get every single one back. He doesn't miss a one. So that's it. How does it work out in the end? It works out fine in the end. But right now, we want to know just pure reality. Right? of what happens, what averas do. So avera is something that relate to the person himself. We have to know that they do. And they can relate to the person to the point that he can be a ben olam haba who's got a serious problem. He's a baal mum, and he's got to be treated. And he can get worse to the point that he's no longer a ben olam haba. And he can get worse to the point that he's thrown out of olam hazeh. Falls down the bottom. He's down the bottom. He's not in the hay anymore. Don't ask me where he is. Right, he's in New York. You know, where is he? He's in Dizengoff. I don't know where he is. He's not in Olam Hazeh, as we know. He's not in the Olam Hazeh of the Shem Kol. He's in some other place. You can fall out. Then, it doesn't mean if you fall out, that's the end of the game either. Then you have to find special process how to get back in. You can get back in.
We're talking about relating to a person who's being part of Amkar.
But a person who is out is a different story than a person who's in. Now, I didn't get anybody right, and I don't consider it my right either, to label anybody. We don't go around labeling people. Because in order to get out, in order to be have the right to label somebody as out, he needs techofi, as the Gemara says. And since Akhsanya says that, Rabbi Akiva says that he was the last line of the people knows how to do techofi, ended a few hundred years ago. Right, so we don't have that capability of taking any Jew and labeling him out. So I didn't say anybody that. Nobody's out.
And that's the only reason they inject him with bad. I don't see how bad defines this problem.
Oh, 1 second. However, that's only because we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. And each individual that's in front of us, right, that we can say that even though l'chor he should be out, maybe he's still in. So I don't know. Right? Maybe he's still in. The chayyim is out, but now maybe he's in. There are certain groups that l'chayyim as a group are out, but the individuals, sorry? That's not the issue. We're not labeling other people, but we have to know for ourselves that the truth of the truth is that avaras are very powerful, powerful negative machines, and they do tremendous damage. And they are not just something that affects the behavior, not the person. That is an American philosophy. And it was borrowed in certain levels to be used to explain certain understandings. But there are people who took it to the degree, and you think that a criminal is not a criminal. No, a criminal is a criminal. We won't talk about now what gives me the right to decide that he's a criminal. But there are, theoretically, in the world, criminals. And criminals are criminals. They can still have a nitzutz of Kedusha. They can still have a neshama that's tahor. They can do tshuva, they can... But right now, he's a criminal. A criminal is a bad person, not a person who has bad behavior. Not just a person who has bad behavior. There are bad people in the world.
No,
he
used to have that. You are what you eat.
And then it changes.
It's become you are what your parents ate, what your grandparents ate.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, you could fall back more. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But I think that's what you are. What you.
You are. Ma'asecho yikavucho, ma'asecho yichavucho. You can get closer and you can get further by your activity. If a person is oisik in Torah mitzvahs, Torah agoyeg minus chasodim, he comes closer. And if he's oisik in kine taivin kovod. So before the Mishnah, Kina Taiva Kovod Moitzian Esa Adam Min HaOlam. That's exactly what it means. It means out. They are out. These are powers that out people. They kick you out. Does that mean that any person who ever did one action of Kina Taiva and Kovod got thrown out of the world? No. That's a power. Every activity is a push in the out direction. Like we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim Kitchisif Ne'aparonis. Right? There's somebody throwing me out, and there's something preventing that throwing from affecting me, or actually getting me out. It's a tug of war. Nobody's exact. We're not talking right now about who actually is out and who actually is in. But we have to know that averas are very big realities. And the ma'isim that a person does, this is one of the main issues that this Mishnah is talking about. The ma'isim that a person does, is a reality. And it affects his essence. It affects his definition. It affects his basic state in the world. And in the long run, it affects the whole world. The Shoyim is not just a description of activity. It is a description of a status of a person, of the essence of a person, all the way down to very inner levels. The most innerest level, no, that's Elokai Shoyim Toyohi, that goes for the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst, if you would get up in the morning one day and say, Lemurot, everything that I did, Elokai, Neshom Shnesat to be Tohirahi, that would have a good effect on him. It may even bring him back in. Even though he's still doing all kinds of terrible things. Because that you can't kill. There's something that's always good. But that's the inner level. But up to that level, there's a few thousand levels until there, right? You can become bad.
What's
Koveya,
the objective level or the
bulker
to come up with
the bulker? Both. Both. That's the sad truth. No, you can't rely just on effort grades. But effort grades go a long way also. But Lamaise, there's good and there's bad in the world. It's true, his great granddad, Adam Arishan, wouldn't have done the first sin, then it wouldn't have been that way. And then he didn't have one iota of bad in him. Except for one. He had a door where bad could come in. And he let it in.
But before he did the good and bad in the world.
There was potential good and bad in the world. There was...
The Nachash was good?
He could have been good, yeah. Chazal say Mefurish. That the mankind lost a tremendous servant because of the destruction of the Nachash. If we would not have had the Chet on Marishan and the Nachash wouldn't have been destroyed, then all physical labor, all servitude, everything in all levels, from the highest to the lowest, all the way up to the highest levels of servitude, everything that you need, the closest to the Adam and not the Adam himself, the Nachash would have done all of it.
Malachim was doing that, right?
Malachim is a different story. There was a Nachash around. Nachash would have been man's best friend, but like in a big way. But he didn't come alone, the Nachash. The Nachash had a piggyback rider called the Sitchahacha that turned the Nachash into what we know him as.
That's what the Nachash was.
It's a complicated story. Not important right now. But yes, the Nachash itself had the possibility of either being man's greatest servant, highly qualitative servant, but it would have to accept itself as knowing that all of us are them and it's a Nachash. And that possibility enabled the Nachash to be a clay kibble for the real Ra. Look at the Bechira, that's what we didn't talk about, but the possibility existed. Bechira is a man thing. But the possibility existed. If you want, you can look at the Sopurno in the beginning of Perek Gimel and Bereishis, he explains this. On the Pasuk, he explains the piggyback ride. We're way off subject. Where are we? What's going on? Where? What time?
Hang on to
that. Ben Yaakov. We were trying to listen. We got lost. We'll try to listen again. We're not going to make it today. We'll try again next week. We were told in Gan, that's where we started. In Gan, they told us that when you do a mitzvah, you create a malach, a good malach, good for you. Rav Lezer Yaakov didn't choose to tell it to us like the Ganet, it's amazing. I don't know, maybe he didn't go to Gan, I don't know. He told us you're koine, a praklit. You're koine. besides the fact that the process is a different process, the result is a different result also. The relationship to this prakriti, if I was koin to him, we're not sure exactly what it means to be koin amal, but that's what you do, that's what he said. He said, koin. And the other side of it really is makes it even harder, or makes it more crystally the difficulty of it. Right? You're koina a katega. It's one of your belongings. You have a katega. You're being accused by the the people. I don't know, whatever they call the prosecutor. The prosecutor is not yours, he's your enemy. He's coming from the people against you. He represents the law. And you are the outlaw, if you did that right here. So he, from over on that side of the fence, is looking at you and going, no, 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 right? So my relationship is one of kinyan. We're the two ends of the extremes. I'm here, he's there, and he's yelling at me. And the problem is he may have a point. Now, Lezer Ben Yaakov takes him and puts him in my pocket. He puts him in my bank account. He says, I was coining him. Yeah, it's your puppy dog. Yeah, it's yours. Take it. Goes with you.
What happens when they give you 100? He has a certain Bechara, Katego, or a prophet. They come to say something. What happens when they give you 100?
That's a good question. That's exactly what we're trying to get to. We want to say, what does it mean, this business? Definitely what it means is that there are masholim that are given in Chazal. If a person does an aveira with a isha, it says by Yosef that if he would have done the aveira, so he would be stuck ba'olam haba with a cellmate. Yishes Potifa. But then he would be with all of the Yish. Says it would be tied to his ankle like a mad dog is tied to a tree or a rock, you know. So too, an aveira gets tied to the person. He's kind
of. That's a description of after God.
I don't know. Don't ask me a question. So that's a question. That's a description of what Aveira does. It attaches you. This Katega is not just something standing on the other side of the courtroom and saying very nasty things. You have a relationship with this guy. You're going to him. So we hear the problem. That's even more less pleasant.
Once you've got one, yeah. Right? You got your whole life to deal with this. Anybody ever had this guy?
Good question. Yeah, there are two answers to that. Some of the Rishonim say that the answer is given at the end of the Mishnah. That's what the continuation is. If I was koinim him, then it's over. Then what am I going to do? So the answer is, it's not over. Tshuva might even tell you in Ketris, you can put up a wall between you and him.
But the one that exists or the one that could come at you?
Oh, yeah, talk about what this Tshuva might tell you is, right? But there's a process called Tshuva Maisim Tovim that puts up walls between you and this guy.
But hey, that's not the game.
What?
That's not my game. Like Rav said at the beginning, there's a difference between the person who got a shada and the person who got the shield.
And there's a difference between a person who never did an Aveira, right, and a person who did do an Aveira, did you?
True.
There's a difference. There is a chidush, which not Lachoya talked about this Mishnah. There's a way of eliminating it completely.
If that's true, then how is it that Yosef would have to have this for a long time? If he's tzaddik and makes one mistake, and he's part of Yaakov's family, and having the influence of Yaakov and the 11 brothers and the whole thing, he probably at the end of his life, come back to.
Yaakov Avinu said, okay, another example. He saw the face of Yaakov Avinu, and he told him, he says, do you want to get thrown off
the breastplate?
That tshuva doesn't help.
Why? Oh, because he has somebody to tell him.
If he would have done the aveira, he would have gotten thrown off the choshen, and there's no way back on. You can be a tzaddik, you can get toilam haba, you can be a yedid Hashem, you can be whatever you want. But certain things, that's it, you lost.
Fine, but she's going to be the mad dog.
Reuven, by birthright, should have been the poor, should have been the kohen, should have been the melech. Pachas kamayim al toiso, even though he did tshuva, and his tshuva was accepted. But he's not Melech anymore. He lost it.
Having to find those things that you don't get back. What is the general?
Everything tonight. Everything. I told you, this is a very packed Mishnah. Very, extremely packed Mishnah.
Rav Moshe Aaron Stern said in the name of, I can't remember who, the difference is, Rav Yecheskel Levinstein. He said the difference was the difference between a laundered shirt and a new shirt. In this kind of tshuva, the shield. It is, you can launder a shirt, it's not a new shirt. This concept is not the same as a guy who never did a nevera. Nevera that tshuva was done on, it's like a laundered shirt. So in that, there were tons of kashish, because then how does Yom Kippur work and whatever, I'm not going to get into this whole thing. I spoke about tshuva b'ah, the year, tshuva b'ah, whatever. But he says it's not the same thing. Just not pristine.
Yeah.
Something has happened.
There's a problem. There's a problem. Because if we'd use that example, just by Marshall, and let's say that you would have to dress a king, right? A king. A chosen for his wedding day. Laundry shirt. What's the matter with laundry shirt? Most people buy new shit.
Don't you feel better when you make a shirt dirty that you've already had dirty and you know it can be cleaned rather than a new shirt that you've never cleaned before?
You feel better about the long shirt?
I do.
You feel better getting dirty the long
shirt? Not getting dirty, but if I got it dirty,
it's not so bad.
I've seen that it can be cleaned already.
Yeah.
If I take out a new shirt that's never been dirty, there's always a chance that
I can't stand wearing a new shirt.
Yeah, but the status. The status of the shirt. Not that's how you feel. The status of the shirt, one's new and one's laundered. New is new and one's
laundered. We also have it. Well, that's something. We'd like to somehow get back to Mishnah. We're not going to be able to do it tonight. All right. What we did manage to do is go through the words and see that we don't know what any of them mean. Right. What? Well, after Pesach. After Pesach. We have time. He wrote a 15 volume thesis of... We still have to figure out what the main subject is. You can't do that in one night. I'm sorry. I don't know how. Maybe you know. I don't know how to do it. What I was leading up to is that there was one word that L'chaya we do understand, and that seems to be the key. The one word that we thought we understood, which looked fine, was mitzvah and aveir. It may be that he used that word not exactly the way that we are going, and it started to us. It may be that we have to start first understanding what does it mean a mitzvah and what does it mean a aveir, and then we'll be able to fill in the rest of the words that describe what you did and what happens. So, the next week, we'll lean at it. So, Vaishnav should help us. We're going to try to get into an understanding of what Reb Lez Ben Yaakov mean when he said mitzvah. Maybe also a day. Try to keep it on the positive side so nobody has any problems.
Yeah, we have to define that. Because then we should have a problem. If we don't define what the mitzvah is, what the tshuva must be doing, it seems to be outside of the mitzvah to it.
Good question. I'm saving that for later.
That's how I like to show it up.
Yeah, what's a monkey? That's it.